Thank you for making Locked On Yankees your first listen every day. We're free and available on all platforms. On today's show, an expose came out on Tuesday that accused Major League Baseball of using two different balls in 2021. We'll talk about that article and the possible fallout from what MLB did. The Yankees tendered contracts to lots of guys, even guys you didn't want back. We'll talk about that. And baseball's hot stove is on fire. More guys were signed by teams not named the Yankees, and we'll talk about that and more coming up.
You are Locked On Yankees, your daily New York Yankees podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Everyone, I'm Stacey Gatsoulias, joined by Abby Mastracco. It is Wednesday, December 1st. December 1st is a very important day for Major League Baseball. We have the lockout possibly happening and talks happening and a deadline happening. And there's lots of stuff going on. And as I mentioned at the top, it's balls, balls, balls. That's all anyone was talking about yesterday, at least on Twitter. If you haven't read the article, we have quotes from players who were spoken to for the article. It was a very long expose, very well done by Bradford William Davis, and the research done by Meredith Wills, who's an astrophysicist. She's done other studies. She's a Sabre member, and she's done other studies about the balls because there's been issues with the balls for the past, God, I'm going to say balls so many times. If you guys are listening to this, I'm inviting you to do a drinking game. We will be saying the word balls lots of times today. Okay, so Abby, you can do it too, whatever you're drinking. I'm only drinking lemonade, but you know, balls.
I have cold coffee because it's been one of those days.
Yeah.
It's my third coffee and I let it get cold. Might be my fourth, actually.
That's bad. Quite a day.
That's not good.
Yeah. I only did two today. I kind of limited myself. I've been bouncing off the walls enough without doing more than two cups of coffee. But
so this is what happens when you cover two sports. You there's been GMs that have been fired in the NHL this week and, you know, the hot stove and an impending lockout. We need to stay up and stay up for the lockout.
That's true. So this expose was posted on the Insider. You need a subscription to read it. You can do a free trial for $1, which is what I did in order to get this article and be able to read it. And then other outlets ran with it and, you know, discussed the actual article, but I'm going to be pulling stuff from that article since it's the original, and I just was fascinated by this thing. Now, I will admit to everyone that I did not read the entire article. My ADHD is out of control this week, and if you have ADHD, you know what it's like when you see a long article and you're just thinking, my brain can't process all of this. So I skimmed through it, saw some important things or things that I thought were important, and that's what we'll discuss. So it is just the timing of this. We discussed this before we started recording. But the timing of this expose coming out right before the possible lockout and all the issues between the players and the owners and the commissioner, this does not really seem to help things much. So
no, it does nothing for any sort of labor peace.
It's just, wow. I mean, as I said before we started recording, I thought it was a joke at first because I saw someone mention something from the article. And as I said, my brain is just, I'm all over the place. And when I saw it, I thought that they were making up something to make it seem like it was said about baseball. And I thought, okay, that's funny. And then when I went on Twitter.
No, it's true. It just keeps getting worse, doesn't it? That's been baseball in 2021. It just keeps getting worse. I mean, the World Series wasn't so great. You had to deal with all of the sexual harassment stuff. I mean, there was domestic violence. Like, there's just
Trevor
so
Bauer.
Many. Trevor Bauer. The tomahawk chop and Rob Manfred saying, oh, it's not racist. Very clearly it is. It just... baseball is at such a weird crossroads right now because there are so many people who are just so content to say nothing's wrong, sweep everything under the rug. Well, now we've got the CBA coming that's expiring in just a few hours. And there are a lot of players who are fighting and saying there's a lot wrong right now in the game and out of the game. And it's like, it just... One more thing. Just why not one more thing? That's been the theme of the year. There's something new that happens in baseball that's not good, like every month. Just add this one to the pile.
It's just, it's... they say timing is everything in life? No, position is everything in life. But timing is also pretty important. And the timing of this is just wonderful for us, but not great for baseball. So the article opens up. Sean Doolittle is a big part of this article. And some of the stuff he said is pretty interesting. And when you hear his quotes, you think to yourself, yeah, I kind of thought the same thing when watching certain games. So this quote stuck out to me, and it also led off the article. So I thought this was important to say. And I like that he says like all the time, as I do, because, you know, you grow up saying stuff a lot, and that's what happens. So this is what Doolittle said about some balls looking like they had no business leaving the ballpark, and yet they did. I feel like I normally have a pretty good handle on being able to judge a fly ball or a line drive, like a ball in the air to the outfield. There were a few instances over the course of the season where, you know, we're sitting in the bullpen watching the game or whatever, and like a home run gets hit and you're kind of like surprised that it got out. And so you're looking at it and you're like, that's kind of weird. It can only happen so many times before you start questioning things. And there were some instances where balls looked like they should have left the ballpark and didn't, because apparently the two different balls, God, I'm going to say that so many times, were...
Should have put whiskey in my coffee.
I know, really. I should have put something in here. I don't even know if we have any alcohol in the house. It's the inside of the ball. It's the core of the ball that affects how it travels.
Yeah, the trajectory of it. And everything about it. How it comes off the bat. I mean, but the inside of the ball also affects how it comes out of the pitcher's hand as well. So it's twofold. So I'm a little surprised. I guess I did hear some pitcher. I myself this year did hear from a couple of pitchers that the ball was inconsistent. Mm-hmm. That they said it felt different. And this was pre-umpire checks, pre-crackdown on the sticky stuff.
Right.
I did hear from a couple, but it wasn't that they made a big deal over it. They just said, some of these feel different. Some of them are a little bit slick, and the umpires keep handing us new balls. Mm. I'm a little bit surprised that the pitchers didn't notice more so. I mean, maybe some of them did, and I just didn't. I mean, look, I'm around two sports. I'm not around baseball every single day like I used to be. Right. Maybe some of them did notice. Sean Doolittle, obviously, he saw something, and it looks like some people he was sitting in the bullpen with saw something as well. But pitchers are usually so sensitive to the way that the ball comes out of their hand that I just am a little bit surprised that somebody hasn't said something sooner. But the comment that was interesting to me was the old comments that were dug up from Pete Alonso, who said people talk about how different balls are used in different free agency years. Well, this was like a banner year for – there's a lot of high-profile free agents, especially shortstops. We've talked about that a lot on this show. None of this is – MLB is not doing anything to, like, combat conspiracy theories. Like, they can deny, and they can say, like, you know, they said that, you know, Rawlings had a – there was supply chain issues. There's supply chain issues with everything right now, you know. Like, there's boats backed up in the Long Beach Harbor, and they said because of COVID there was – this, it doesn't matter what MLB says at this point. They're just inviting more scrutiny and inviting more questioning and
people not trusting them.
They're not doing anything to build any sort of trust with the players
right
at the wrong time. I mean, they're negotiating with players right now, literally at this second, at a hotel. And this is just probably driving a little bit more of a wedge between the players in the league, and it's not really doing anything for public trust either.
Right. I know. And especially now where it feels like there's a much bigger population of people who really believe in conspiracy theories.
Oh, yeah.
This is just Like, what are you guys doing?
Easy to let your mind run wild, especially when it's your paycheck on the line. Mm-hmm. You know, when it's your performance that you think that ball's going out and you need that last home run to like meet some contract incentive or something. It's very easy to let your mind run wild in those sorts of situations.
Yeah. I don't even know how to segue into this because we have to, you know, I was going to joke about holiday balls that you hang on the tree. We don't have a tree in my house. We can't have a tree because we have too many cats. We have a Christmas plant that they don't touch. So my mom hangs a few ornaments from it and cards, and she hangs tinsel on it and everything, and they don't go near it. But we feel as if we had a regular Christmas tree, it would be knocked down every 5 seconds with all the cats we have in the house. So, yeah. But this holiday season, grab a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, or even better than a candy bar. Built Bar. It's filled with so much holiday goodness, rich with decadent flavor, covered in chocolate, and yes, it is. And it's amazingly low in calories, sugar, net carbs, and fat, but it's high in protein. You get the best of both worlds. Delicious and healthy. I actually had a Built Bar for breakfast this morning before my workout. So, yeah. And people tell me all the time, you talk about Built Bar so much that I'm going to start buying them. And that's what we want you to do. There's so many flavors, you'll have a hard time choosing. Will you have raspberry or mint brownie? Me. That's my favorite. Cherry, double chocolate, cookies and cream, peanut butter brownie. It gives you extra fuel so you can bust down those mall tours and battle all the holiday shoppers if you leave your house. Or if you're standing in endless shopping lines, Built Bar can give you that extra something to keep you going. So throw one in your jacket or purse because you never know when you're going to need one. Let's see. There are also new things that are coming out. Marshmallowy treats. Do you like those? You need to get your hands on Built Bar Puffs. They're light, fluffy, and marshmallowy through and through. Different flavors, all covered in chocolate. They taste so good, you won't believe they're actually filled with protein. So go to built.com, use our promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your order. I tried one of those puffs. Now I can't remember what the flavor was, but I had that for breakfast yesterday. Really good. And if you're not watching me, I just gave a thumbs up because it's a really good product. So thank you again for making Locked On Yankees your first listen every day. We're free and available on all platforms. And we're talking about balls. I know. The thing that I found interesting also about, you know, like you had mentioned it, they're coming up with all these different excuses, supply chain issues, the COVID issue, this and that. You're making two different balls.
Yeah, there's, and, yeah.
You know, there was an obvious difference.
Look, here's the thing. If you're going to make two different balls, tell players.
Yes.
Tell players this happened because of COVID. So this year, unfortunately, we have to use two different balls.
That's
we
what
have
it is.
To use two different products.
Right. The subterfuge. That's the what.
And they're probably going to be issues. They don't want to say that because they know that there's going to be issues and there's going to be pushback with players. Right. But if that and if that is 100% the case, though, if there's nothing you can do to avoid using two very different products, you have to be transparent about it. And then maybe, like, if the players push back, maybe then you can start to figure out a solution instead of say, too bad, this is just the way that it's going to be because we're the boss, you know? And it's like, you know, it's like when you sneak out of the house in high school because you knew your parents were going to say no to going out. You have to be transparent. These people, it's these players' livelihoods are on the line.
Yeah.
You know, their careers. They're also, pitchers are going to rightfully want to know, are there any injury concerns with different balls?
Yeah,
I think that's fair.
Yeah,
that's very fair.
Because, you know, you had mentioned that some players had mentioned the difference in the balls. And I recall Masahiro Tanaka saying that last year about it, that, you know, he couldn't get a feel for his splitter, which is, I mean, that's a feel pitch and you have to have your hand in a certain way. And if you can't grip the ball correctly and if balls are not consistent, of course, you're not going to be able to throw your money pitch.
Yeah.
You know, and as you said, this was happening before the sticky stuff ban. I'm of the mind that MLB should allow some sort of substance that's universally allowed that pitchers can use and not overuse. And it's something that they all agree upon. Because as Pete Alonso said, other than talking about the different balls and free agency and stuff like that, he was saying, I would much rather have a guy using stuff on his hands to throw a 100-mile fastball.
Yeah, it's a safety concern.
Yeah.
How many? We saw more. There were more hit by pitches. I forget the stat. I was writing about it a few months ago. There were more hit by pitches this year, and there were a lot of head. There were a lot of head pitches. The Cardinals pitcher who hit Bryce Harper in the head. He hit two guys back to back in the head. And Mike Schilt, the manager, said it was not malicious. It was not intentional. And I talked to a few players about this after it happened too. And they said they didn't think it was malicious or intentional. He just didn't know where he was going with his fastball.
Yeah.
And if you and right now what we're seeing is we have velocity is highly prized. You really can't, there's not a lot of soft tossers left, no matter how good they can locate, you know? That's why guys go to driveline. They add more velocity on their fastball. So you have a lot of guys who can throw gas, but they can't always control it. And you bring them up to the major leagues because even if they can't quite control it, well, they can still get guys out because it's a 100-mile-an-hour pitch. But you probably shouldn't do that because then it's a safety issue. Then it's a safety issue. If they cannot command their fastball at a bare minimum level that it's going at guys' heads all the time, they need to go down to the minor leagues to work on that. And if it's a problem, if they can command that fastball, but they're losing control of it because they cannot properly grip the ball, then Major League Baseball needs to come up with some sort of solution for safety reasons. I mean, the rules when it comes to player safety in so many sports, I've dealt with this in hockey too. They should be a little bit malleable because it's safety is on the line. When we're getting headshots, that becomes not just a difference between missing a game or two. That becomes a difference between missing days with your kids, you know? Yeah. Head injuries are not anything, not that any injury is anything to take lightly, but a bone bruise is different than an injury to your head. I think that there needs to be a little bit of like give in some of these rules to take into account player safety.
Right. Now, another part of the article that I thought was interesting, there was a National League pitcher. I'm going to read this from the article. When one National League pitcher became aware of Will's findings, he was so intrigued that he tried to replicate them himself using balls he brought home for the offseason. Wills told him how to do it. Use a kitchen scale to weigh a mix of a half dozen 2021 baseballs from a single game. Then using a pocket knife, carefully remove the leather cover and record the batch code printed on the inside and center weights. And Wills told the player he should expect the centers to fall into two weight ranges. 124 to 125 grams and around 127. So the pitcher who asked not to be named texted Wills pictures of six balls on a scale, which he shared with Insider. And there were four balls with centers weighing within a tenth of a gram of 127 and two between 124 and 125, exactly in line with Wills's predictions. And he said, weird. And I just thought it was interesting that a pitcher actually took the time to take balls home. There we go again. Take a drink. Cut them open and look at them and examine them and find out that, yeah, this research is actually right. And there's something going on here. And I just feel like, I don't know, we keep saying just the timing of this and with everything going on with baseball, this is the absolute worst thing for the negotiations right now. The players have to be really pissed about this because, as you said, if you're going to do stuff with balls and it's these, you know, even the hitters' livelihood, some of these guys had down years in 2021 and it wasn't just the carryover from 2020 where it was only a 60-game season. You saw some of these guys really fall off and balls that they were hitting were just dying. And now we know something was up. I mean, you know, some guys had down years because they had down years.
We attributed it to the sticky stuff in the beginning, you know, and the ball, different balls were speculated as well, which is why I had asked a few pitchers earlier this season, you know, about the balls, and they said it just feels a little slick, and sometimes the stitching feels different. There didn't seem to be any like uniform consistency, and the umpires kept giving them new balls after they'd finally scuff it up and get it to how they wanted it. I'm not surprised that a pitcher did this, that a pitcher took balls home and performed his own science experiment, because pitchers can sometimes be surgeons, and like they can be very, you know, that's like scientific about pitching. There's some guys who just sort of like heave it. But there are a lot, pitchers can be very cerebral sometimes, especially relief pitchers. I love talking to relief pitchers. They're kind of fun. They're very fun, actually. They're just the most interesting people to talk. Maybe because they have so much time on their hands, like when they're out in the bullpen, like they actually have other interests. Like sometimes I talk to guys and they're just like, oh, I go home and I'm like, I play video games, you know, like, or I play with my kids. And like relief pitchers always seem to have some sort of like interest outside of baseball that they love to talk about. So I'm not surprised that it was a pitcher, because they can be very scientific about things. I just think maybe there needs, not maybe, there absolutely needs to be some more transparency in the game. And maybe transparency not just on the part of baseballs, but maybe transparency would solve some of these issues that we have when it comes to, like, you know, not having labor peace as well. There's, what I keep going back to, some people have asked me recently, what is the sticking point in some of these labor negotiations? And I said, there's not a lot, but to use one as an example, the one that I always keep coming back to is service time manipulation, right? In Seattle last year, the Rotary Club fiasco, they said the quiet part out loud. They admitted to manipulating service time. And it was, I think it was Josh Donaldson who said, well, thanks for telling us that outright. We're going to use that that's going to be very helpful information during the CBA negotiations. Mm-hmm. We all know that teams do that. We all know that they game the system, and they don't call up their top prospects or guys that are like obviously ready to come up because they want to get another year out of them for cheap.
Right.
I don't know how you come right out and say, hey, we're going to do this.
Right.
And there's been a lot of bad excuses. You know, like the Cubs said that Chris Bryant needed to work on his defense, which we all knew was not the case. But if teams could come to some sort of teams and leagues could come to some sort of, I don't know, solution to say, we're going to talk this out. We're going to talk out the next steps in your career with you. And we're going to see where you're at and what the roadmap is. I don't know. I just think that maybe some transparency, yeah, they've got to stop manipulating service time. But like they talk about these things and they have a little bit more transparency, they can go to players and say, we think you need a little bit more seasoning for this, not just, you know, BS reasons like you need better defense when they're obviously ready to come up. Sure. But here's the plan. Here's how long we think you need to be in the minor leagues. Maybe that plan changes. I just think that if there's some transparency on the part of the team and the league, you're going to get a little bit more. You're going to get more labor peace. There also needs to be, you know, overhauling in some of them, like contracts and things like that. I don't know. Maybe I'm completely off base by saying this, but if there's more transparency, it just feels like MLB is constantly trying to hide things until players figure it out on their own. And when they figure it out, they're upset. Rightfully so.
Right. If I was a betting person, I would bet that things will not be solved before the deadline tonight, and we will see a lockout. And if you're a betting person, BetOnline has you covered for all season, the whole season. You have more props, odds, and lines than ever before. As football season continues its march to the playoffs, BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this season. Head to their new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today. Receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive that bonus. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite casino games from Vegas, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Yeah, I was going to bring up Chris Bryant, because that's the one that really sticks out to me with the service manipulation stuff, because that... I mean, I paid attention to stuff like that, but really being on Twitter and writing about baseball around that time, I really started paying attention to that sort of thing. And you know, I'm old enough to remember the 94 strike and all the other labor stuff before that. Not that I was so into it that I know exactly what they were fighting over, but I just remember the work stoppages and how, you know, pissy everyone was and how people didn't return to baseball for a while. Like baseball kind of...
It took a steroid crisis to the home run race and then a steroid crisis to bring people back to baseball. And,
right.
You know, it's just, it's unfortunate because... The product on the field, they're better athletes right now than at any other time in the sport's history. We've got Ohtani, we've got Trout, we've got DeGrom, you know, and it's just unfortunate that the league keeps trying to almost dilute the product, you know, allowing tanking, or not really allowing it, but doing nothing to discourage it for, you know, several years at a time, at least in leagues with a salary floor. There's an end to the tank job, or at least, you know, a presumed end. It's not.
Oh, yeah, baseball needs a salary floor.
You want to see competition. You want to see competitive games. You want to see teams in the mix for a playoff spot in September. And especially with, you know, the league has expanded the playoffs with this wild card system. And for the most part, the races in September have been pretty good. You know, maybe not the National League race this year. That felt more like a race to the bottom. But
look at the AL East. You had
four
teams that were really in it. I mean, the Jays just missed.
It seems like the league just continually does things to like shoot itself in the foot. It's hamstrung by certain things that are of the league's own creation. You know, like they've taken some of the strategy out of the game. The problems that the game faces, the league is addressing the symptoms instead of the disease. Time of game is a very big issue. And instead of doing things that they could do, like, you know, shortening media timeout, which they don't want to do because of advertising, you know, they did the, you know, zero pitch intentional walk, which saves, 45 seconds? I don't know. They've definitely taken a lot of the strategy out of the game with the three batter minimum and the bullpen. It's just, they're not addressing the right issues. You want to speed the games up, like go to Universal DH, you know, and there's other ways, pitch clock. There's other ways to fix these issues. And instead, the league just keeps trying to protect its own interests. And it's unfortunate because it's at the expense of the entertainment value of the game. And it's at the expense of labor peace.
Right. And you hear that a lot from people where they say that they can't watch baseball anymore or especially on TV. When you're there, it's kind of different because you expect to be at a baseball game. Like, you expect it to be like an all afternoon kind of experience for yourself. Like, especially in the summer, if it's an afternoon game and you're like, you know, you want that. But when you're watching it on TV, the games don't start till 8:20 and they last until nearly midnight. You're just like, why am I watching this? This is torture. Because... the commercial breaks. I said this on a show during the playoffs. The 1981 World Series, the start times weren't until 8:30, but between the Yankees and the Dodgers, game one and two. In New York, 8:30 p.m. Eastern start time, one game was 2:22 and the other game was 2:19. That was shown on TV. Didn't take that long because, I mean, obviously, 1981... you didn't have, you didn't have as many channels either. Because, you know, some people were also talking about ratings and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, we all remember watching the Braves on TBS after Saved by the Bell growing up.
Yes. Yeah. You know, I had WSBK, right? Was that the Boston station? So I watched, you know, I watched TBS. I watched WGN. I watched all the super stations.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like I was just watching the Yankees. And, you know... people were complaining about the World Series ratings being so low. And it's like, there are more than three main channels now. So it's not as if you're going to have 42 million people watching the baseball World Series, because that's one of three things you can watch on any given night. It's not the same anymore. Yeah. But they really need to do something about that because it's too long.
Game pace is a big problem.
Oof.
The amount of strikeouts is a big problem. I know that a lot of casual watchers will say, well, that's the analytics for you. It's not always the analytics.
No.
Look, like we talked about earlier, we've got guys throwing 100 miles an hour who don't know where they're throwing. They're going to get strikeouts by nature, or, you know, or just hit the mascot like in Bull Durham. baseball has so many issues right now, and it's frustrating taking myself out of my like reporter role for just a minute. It's frustrating as somebody who just likes to watch the game, you know, because like I get so jaded as a reporter sometimes that like what I've been trying to do is, look, on my off days, the last thing I really want to do is watch sports sometimes. Like, sorry, I know I'm not supposed to say that, but I'll still watch the NBA. On Sundays, I'll sort of casually watch football, but like I watch hockey and baseball every single night for my job. I'm at a lot of games. I'm talking to players. I'm constantly reading, trying to keep up on news, like looking at analytics, looking at stats. On my days off, sometimes I just want to watch like Succession or 90 Day Fiancé or Arrested Development.
Right.
You know, I keep Seinfeld on in the background when I'm working at home. I need like a mental break. But to like prevent myself from getting too burnt out on sports, I try and go to a couple baseball games every summer with my friends where I have I'm not looking at Twitter. I'm not looking at any stats. I'm sitting with a beer and a hot dog with my friends, just watching baseball for what it is. And then I usually try and go, when I'm in California, I try and get out to a couple of college games, because college games, Long Beach State games especially, remind me of like why I love the game so much and brings me back to a time when it was a little bit simpler for me. So I do that to prevent myself from getting too burnt out. So the fan in me, when I go with my friends, it's not as much fun. It's not as interesting to watch. It's interesting for me to watch Jacob deGrom work. And he's a high strikeout pitcher, but all the freaking strikeouts and all of the home runs, it's just not, there's not a lot of strategy in the game anymore. I mean, you could say ban the shift. You could say implement a universal DH. I don't care about the shift. It's a strategic part of the game for me. And I do enjoy baseball because it can be like a chess match, and that is a chess move, you know?
I think maybe guys should learn how to bunt when a shift is on. Just poke the bat out and be like, hey, I can get a double this way because no one's on the left side of the field.
We talked about the fundamentals, as Keith Hernandez would say, fundies. Mm-hmm. It's important. They are important even at the highest level of the game. So a lockout is unfortunate for all of us. Those of us in the media, it's going to cost some of my friends work for a couple months.
Right.
I don't know what it's, I've been trying to talk to some people lately about the effects that it's going to have on the minor leaguers. And it's just a really unfortunate thing. It's bad for business. It's bad for the brand. There's a lot of resentment on both sides right now. And there's a lot of resentment from the fans as well. And the balls are one of the problems that are leading to labor strife, just one of the many. And you know, here's to hoping that it gets worked out before they miss any games this spring. Now, cheers to everybody who's listening to this and not following or not watching.
Yeah. Now, I said at the top we were going to talk about other stuff, but the article took up most of the time. And the impending labor strife. We're jokingly going to call ourselves locked out Yankees on the next show because that's probably what it's going to be. So on the next show or the show after that, because, you know, there's going to be different things to talk about. But we'll discuss the guys who were tendered contracts. We'll discuss the hot stove stuff going on because there might be a flurry maybe before the deadline tonight. I mean, something may have happened while we were recording and we have no idea.
There was a very interesting press conference that I just wrapped up with Max Scherzer and Steve Cohen and Sandy Alderson and Billy Epler and Scott Boras. Well, it was very crowded, but it was interesting.
Yeah. And Scherzer's a big labor guy, isn't he?
He is active pretty actively. We asked him a few questions about that.
Okay.
I thought what he said was, you know, he pretty very concisely stated the player's side of it, which is that the rules need to be changed to incentivize teams to compete, which is sort of the bottom line. It's the big sticking point on the part of the players. I would imagine that there's not very much sympathy for billionaire owners right now. And despite the fact that the players themselves are paid, some players themselves are paid pretty highly, you know, Scherzer being one of them. He did talk about what the effect could be potentially on those who are not paid as well. And I think if we get into territory where we're missing games, and paychecks, that's, that's going to be a big problem. Hopefully we don't get to that point, but he did shed some light on that situation, and I thought he was insightful.
Yeah. He seems like he would be that type of thoughtful player that knows what he's talking about, and especially when it comes to that sort of thing. And we'll talk about that more because, again, as I said, you know, with the lockout, when it actually happens, I'm going to say when, because it's a when. You know, we'll have to talk about things and stretch things out. So, yeah, as I said, on either the next show or maybe the show after that, we'll talk about all the contracts that the Yankees gave out. Some of the guys that you didn't want back are back. And I will get to joke with you about that, because I love that so much. But that's it for this episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Abby and I would like to remind you that you can listen to this show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever else you get your podcast. You can watch and subscribe to us on YouTube. Our next big number is 666. I'm pretty excited about that. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Bets. You can make your second listen of the day Locked On Bets, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets is hosted by your boy Q, with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. One more thing, if you could be so kind, please rate the podcast and spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans. We'd really appreciate it. Enjoy your Wednesday, and we will talk to you next time.